Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, titled Loss for Christ. This is part 2 of 2.
Now, if you will let that sink in, you're saved this morning. You're a Christian this morning. You have been made an heir. H-E-I-R, to the hope of eternal life. And some of you are going to waste your lives down here on this stuff. You're going to waste your life on this flesh. What a waste. What a waste. Now, all of us are human, and I'm not saying you never have a leisure moment. But there, any honest person, when you're talking to them, will, you know, recognize that there's one thing to have a little leisure. It's another when that leisure becomes basically your lifestyle. For example, if you golf, there's nothing wrong with golf. I don't do it, but if you do, have at it. But when golf becomes your lifestyle, there's your problem. When life is consumed by your having the best clubs that you can get and being able to go to the best golf courses and spend a certain amount of time, and you know, you take your family on vacation so you can golf, you know, that sort of thing. You're starting to maybe see a little problem there. Football. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game. But you know these people who, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, they've got sports talk on, and all they talk about is sports with everybody. Can't talk about anything else. And then they go home, it's all about sports, and every game, even if it's a team that they don't even care about, they're watching. Now they've got these apps, and people are walking around with their apps, and they're every time they have a spare moment, they've got their NFL or NCAA app on, and they're looking and watching everything going. Man, that's your religion. Think of people, and then when you talk to them, they know all the stats. They know everybody playing. They know their averages of this and that. Then you talk about the Bible. I just can't seem to find time to read the Bible. I don't memorize the Bible the way I ought to. I know the starting lineup of the Cincinnati Reds going back to 1902. But I just can't memorize Scripture. And I haven't missed a game since I was 5 years old. But I can't find time to read the Bible. See what I'm saying? But that's not for me, it's for you to think about and pray about. I have to take care of myself. I've got my hands full. And so I'm always thinking about these things for myself. A little reality check. We have nothing to offer for the salvation of our souls. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Our offering is in response to what Jesus has done for us. That's another thing. Don't go out starting tomorrow and try to be Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual and just do it because you're trying to prove something to somebody. That won't work. Eventually you'll fry out and burn out and give up. What you do is meditate on what Jesus has done for you. Meditate on what you deserve. Not, I don't mean play games with God either. I mean be honest with God. What do you deserve? You deserve to be in hell right now. Do you understand that? I'm not looking at a single person right now that is of the maturity to understand right from wrong and to understand the gospel. Once you reach that level, you deserve to be in hell. Every moment that you reject the gospel and remain unsaved, you deserve to be in hell. And that's not where most people start. Today, most people start and think, I'm so wonderful. And people love me. They like my personality. I have a good sense of humor. I have a lot to offer everyone. I am wonderful. And God has saved me. Isn't He blessed? That's how people look at it. There's a lot of times where people, when you're witnessing and sharing the gospel, and they're thinking, you know, well, I don't know. I guess I could do God a favor and pray with this guy and be saved. That's how they're thinking. A lot of times it's because it's the way it's being sold. But then something happens when you meditate on the truth. Where you are, what you deserve, and what Jesus has done for you to change everything. Romans 12:1, we quote often, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said, by the mercies of God. You're not doing God a favor. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, how you do that? That's flesh. When you are controlled by the Spirit, then you can offer your body. But when your body controls you, you can't offer it. But when you are walking in the Spirit, you can present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's like people who don't attend church. They say, well, I'm there in the Spirit. Well, we'd like to see your body show up once in a while. Amen? I mean, it's just no fun if every one of you stayed home and was here in the Spirit and looking around a bunch of spirits floating around. That'd be scary. Show up bodily once in a while. Amen? Holy means this isn't just cheap talk where you say, oh yes, you can have my body, meanwhile living in sin. Acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable service.
Those who will not lose their lives and give their bodies over to God, they're being unreasonable. That's being unreasonable. Because we lose a life that is worthless without Jesus. I'm just here to tell you that if you are not saved this morning, your life is worthless. And you'll find out when you stand at the great white throne. And if you're a Christian today and you're living to serve your own self, your life is worthless. I didn't say your soul, your life. And you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we'll have a big bonfire on your behalf. That's what's going to happen to a lot of Christians who are living all about me, me, me. That's what it is to be saved. Jesus has saved me from hell. I want to give Him everything.
Amen.
Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's everybody. Jesus didn't come to save the wonderful people because there are none. You know the old saying, people won't come to church. They say, well, I don't like this at that church, and I don't like this guy and that girl, and I don't like this and that. You know what? You find the perfect church, don't go there or you'll ruin it. Because you're not perfect either. And that's why God came to save each of us, because we're lost. J.C. Ryle is a guy, an English believer. He wrote, never does a person see any beauty in Christ as a Savior until they discover that they are a lost and ruined sinner. I've talked to a few people who thought they were saved because people told them they were. Then they got an open Bible and really started looking at themselves, and they said, you know, there really never was a time that I honestly approached God with repentance and believing and trusting in His work, His shed blood, and His resurrection. And then when they got saved, it changed everything. Before they were saved because everybody told them they were, when they really got saved, everything changed. Suddenly they understood why people Sometimes, I'm just telling you, since I've been saved, there's times where I'll sing a song and I'll cry. I was driving down the road the first time I ever heard that song in the Song of the Redeemed. You remember that song? And I just listened to that song and I just began to weep. And then at the end of the song, I thought, I hope no one sees this. Crazy. Something happens. When I see a Christian who seems ungrateful for being saved, they seem all about themselves, I don't always just think, oh, they must not be saved. I just think they seem to have gotten their eyes off of the cross. They don't have that appreciation, the overwhelming appreciation that we ought to have. And this is how Jesus put it in his own words in Mark 8. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We're at the end of the year. Go out online and look it up. 2007, celebrities that we've lost. 2017, what is the? Oh. You don't have to excuse me. I'm getting old and time is flying. I seem to have lost track. You can look at 2007 too, but look at 2017 and they'll show you all the celebrities. And you know what I feel like doing when I look at this stuff? I feel like weeping. Many of those people, at least one time or another, were on the top of the world. David Cassidy from the Partridge Family, remember him? At one time, he was it, man. Every girl I knew, and I was little, and I was like, what in the world is wrong with these people? Like, David Cassidy. And then it became the Cassidy Brothers or something like that, wasn't it? Something like that. But I looked and looked. I saw no evidence that the man was ever saved. And you name the person, if they're on top of the world and there's no evidence they're saved, I'll be more than happy to get to heaven and find them there and be surprised. Amen. But just looking at the facts, to gain the whole world and lose their soul. And it's not just celebrities. And so many times you see people. We live in a pretty prosperous area, you know, and I'll walk up and down the street and I'll try to give somebody a gospel tract. They'll look at me and they'll say, "No, thanks, I'm okay." Yeah. And I'll say, you know, the Bible says none of us are okay unless we are saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, that's your belief. It's your truth. No, Jesus said it's the truth. And I choke back. I get a lump in my throat. Choke back tears talking to these people right here in Worthington, Ohio. Yeah, right. They're not rich and famous. I don't know their names. But they think they're on top of the world. They're going to lose their soul. And as I said, the same thing's true for Christians who are going to lose all reward because they're so consumed with themselves. And they're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have nothing. So our response to the world who ask, what if you're wrong? Brother Doug and I were talking about this Wednesday. If I'm wrong, I lost nothing. Yeah. If you're wrong, you've lost everything. Yeah. For eternity. You may think I'm silly, but I get that way about when I see films of some of these guys like... That Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has three names, so I always get them messed up, but I think that's his name, the scientist. And Carl, what's his name, the original Cosmos?
Sagan.
Carl Sagan. Christopher Hitchens. How many of you know who he is? Man, I love that guy. I'd listen to him talk about things. Now, I didn't agree with everything, but I just loved him. And he went to his death stiff-necked and rejecting the Lord. Now I see those videos and I just get a lump in my throat. Christopher, your brother got saved. Did you know that? Christopher Hitchens' brother's a Christian. He was one of the most outspoken atheists in the world during his lifetime. Mm-hmm. If your brother's wrong, your brother lost nothing. I saw somebody tell him that one day, and he scoffed. I saw it on video. Wasn't there. Somebody said, Christopher, if Christians are wrong, we've lost nothing, but if you're wrong, you've lost everything. Give me another drink. This morning, you're looking at a saved sinner. I had nothing but sin to offer to God. And He saved me. And you'll never be saved until you understand that's all you have to offer. And if you've been saved, there had to have been a moment where you realized that's all you had to offer. Which is nothing. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul also wrote this. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what?" Paul says, "Of who I am chief." That's just the right attitude. I'm the least deserving. And each of us need God. He preached this, and this is Paul again. Pauline doctrine, Acts 20:21, to those who want to rip repentance out of the message of the gospel, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Repentance is to lose what you're holding on to that separates you from God. Amen. Some people don't, it's not as much sin as their problem. They need to repent of their religion. Yes. But we close with verse 7 in Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Amen. That really is the Christian life, should be our motto for living. Losing it all for Jesus is a wonderful thing. If you've done that, you can say amen. If you haven't, that's what you should leave out of here on your mind and heart, is losing it all. And then every day you have to wake up and resolve to do that. Paul said, I die daily. Every day, start your day.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time in your word. We thank you for all the saved sinners here this morning.
Amen.
If there's anyone here who is not saved, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring them to their knees in repentance.
Amen.
With faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for those who couldn't make it.
Amen.
That you'd give them a little, just a sense of our love and prayers. That we're thinking about them and missing them. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings and ask your blessings on each one as we leave here today and go into a new year. More than anything, we pray for the rapture.
Amen.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Charity's not here. But don't lose heart.
There's still cake.
Dan's birthday.
Yay!
Don't sing verse 2. Dogs cannot be saved. But let's sing verse 1.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dan.
Scratch that itch.
Happy birthday.
You may think we're silly singing to a dog, but Martha appreciates it. Amen. So we still have, we don't have cake.
No, we have cookies.
Cookies.
Yes,
if you
want to
stick around.
That day is like no other, my fondest memory. The day that Jesus saved. New man comes to life.
for us again.